The Midweek Drive on Siren FM. Celebrate that Wednesday wonder with style!
It's okay, just calm down. Right, well, she has arrived. Yes, indeed, the Director of Communications Development and Marketing at the fabulous University of Lincoln is with us in the studio for her first ever Midweek Drive. Not her first visit to Siren, but first ever Midweek Drive. Ellie Sample, how are you?
I'm fine, Alex. Can you hear me okay?
I think we'll move the microphone slightly towards yourself, so that's sort of that, and then that's great. We'll sort of share microphonic duties there, all sort of two. But can you hear me okay? It's a wonderful way of actually dealing with the radio routine, because straight away, over in Nashville, Tennessee, Cameron Tilbury, it's a true legend we have in the studio here, Cameron. I know you bring a whole range of things here, but Ellie, well, I mean, I just turned to an edition of the Lincolnshire Echo, Thursday, December the 5th to Wednesday, December the 11th, and I see, yes, Ellie Sample, Director of Communications, Development and Marketing, University of Lincoln. Trip to the Capitol was perfect to show what we're capable of. Ellie, that's why we love you. You go the distance for Director of Communications. That was actually sort of referring to the time when, of course, you went down with a group of folk to the House of Lords.
We did. We went to celebrate the university and everything that's going on here in terms of the College of Arts. And it was absolutely fantastic. We had ministers, we had leaders from industry like Google and everywhere who came to see exactly what's happening in Lincoln. And of course, there's so much going on here in terms of research. We've got lots going on in terms of robot developments. We've got robot security guards and we've got cancer investigations, and most people outside of Lincoln don't have a clue.
They don't. I mean, you know, in Nashville, Tennessee, you know, finally we're getting robots. Not robot presenters as yet, Cameron, before you actually jump in on that particular thing. We like to feel we've still got that organic mixture together from that point of view. But, you know, that's just one of the whole thing. And Sarah Baltimore, welcome back to the Midweek Drive.
Thank you, Alex.
I say the show is just not the same without your good self. And, of course, it is a Lincoln-inspired takeover, as we say, from that point of view. So for the benefit of our friend, dear Cameron Tilbury, and probably the listener, what's Lincoln-inspired all about?
Well, we're approaching our second year now, Alex. Mm-hmm. Last week, it's gone that fast. Last year has gone so fast since we premiered last year. And Lincoln-inspired is a festival of literature, performance and art. And we've just today put the finishing touches ready for the programme to announce next week.
Yeah. We can tease on the programme. Yeah. I mean, Ellie, obviously, within communications, you appreciate D notices. I've seen some very exciting stuff, but we can tease ahead.
We can tease, and it's looking exciting.
It's looking very exciting indeed, almost as exciting as a Maple Star Music and Media video and indeed artistic choice. Earlier this morning, of course, we revealed that it was actually an Italian version of country music, or Tuscany in many ways, that we're actually going for today. So, Cameron, the floor is yours, internationally speaking. Are we all set for 12N?
Yeah, we're here in Nashville, and we're sitting across from Cummins Station. I'm having a coffee with Jeff Mosley, who is in charge of Inside Music Row television that you may see on TV over there. It airs on Sky. And we're just talking about the business and stuff. And I was just mentioning that we've found this band from Italy. And, you know, when you get an email from somebody from a country that you wouldn't expect country music to come from, you kind of think in your head, this could be really interesting.
Now Cameron, I mean, just interjecting briefly, I mean, Italy is a country, right? Yes? It has music,
country, yes.
So therefore, country music,
country
surely.
Country music, there you go, all right. But they came to me through a friend of mine in Italy who produces heavy metal music, and they got in touch and said, hey, check us out. So I listened to them, and I was really, really impressed. They've got a couple of singles out. They're called 12N, or 12 Note, and they've got a really good video. If you wanted to go to YouTube and check it out, look for them. The song is Country Music from Italy, and they talk about being in Tuscany, and it's just like being in the country in the U.S. with horses and Western riding and all that kind of stuff. So you really should check them out. But here is 12N, 12 Note from Italy and Pioneer on Siren FM.
So not a a single buongiorno or indeed mention of pizza whatsoever. He says, obviously, going to shameless stereotypical impressions of our good friends from Italy and so on. But the key question, as you're well aware, Cameron, is what did the team actually make of 12N or 12 Note and Pioneer? Sarah Bullimore.
I really loved it, Alex. I thought it had a lovely melody to it.
Lovely melody. Okay, this is good. Ellie Sample?
Well, it wasn't very Italian, was it?
I did sort of think, I mean, James seemed to detect a slight Italian accent in there in various ways.
Well, just from the women, particularly, well, obviously. But yeah, there's a slight tinge.
Okay.
It wasn't McFly. I mean, I've got to admit, I love McFly.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm not really a country girl, but even though I live in Lincoln.
It has been revealed today, Cameron Tilbury, you have been present when Ellie Sample, Director of Communications, Development and Marketing, lacks McFly.
I love McFly.
Are you ready for McBusted?
Do you know, I wish I was going to that in Hyde Park. I saw McFly here a couple of months ago here at Market Raisin Racecourse. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe that their next gig is at Hyde Park in London as McBusted.
I know. I'm not sure whether you've got some sort of Morse code going on your end there, Cameron, but it seems as though we're sort of just bleeping into all wonderful things there. Let's pass the microphone over to Catherine. Catherine, you were listening intently. Your headphones were on there. You were focused totally on 12N and Pioneer. What did you make of it?
I thought it was fantastic. As you said, Alex, I lived in Nashville. Mm. I was there for 3 years at the wonderful Vanderbilt University. Mm-hmm. And when you live in Nashville, you've just got to get to like country music.
Really?
It's
an essential part of the whole
fantastic.
Thing.
It's fantastic.
It's a bit like living in Lincoln and not liking the sausage. Is that the
yeah, or not liking potatoes. I mean, you know, it's just everywhere. And I liked it to start with. And by the time I left Nashville, I loved it. And I really think this song's got a lot going for it. I would be surprised if it wasn't a big hit.
There we are. And James?
I should like it, shouldn't I? Yeah, I mean, it was good. But I don't think country's my thing.
Or Thang, perhaps.
Thang.
It's a thought. Well, there we are. I think it's fair to say, Cameron, 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5, reasonable from that perspective. So I think we're on a winner there. And Melanie Crouch will be joining us tomorrow to actually talk a little bit more about the band and all sorts of other bits and pieces. Cameron, have you got any questions you want to put to either Ellie or Sarah or indeed writer extraordinaire? In fact, Catherine, share with us some of the sort of the text you've actually produced, because you've been producing some fine stuff, really, which is, of course, one of the reasons why you are one of our fine people. People who we can reveal will be actually at the Siren FM presents some of our favourite authors. You'll be on our side.
Yes, I'm going to be on an author panel. Really looking forward to that. Be talking about my novel Flower Girl. And I haven't heard all the details yet, but I think there's going to be possibly a question and answer session. And really looking forward to that. Yeah.
Sarah's got some sort of person in mind for chairing it. I don't know who person to play.
I'm sure not a million miles from here.
James, obviously. Anyway, life continues. Right, moving on. Cameron, did you have any quick questions you want to put to the team? I'll take it as a no then. Right, let's progress from that. But once again, Cameron Tilbury catches us from blindsiding the whole thing there. Fantastic
That's
stuff.
Right.
Okay, Sarah, last two questions for Cameron Tilbury, please.
Have you had a good conversation with us today, Cameron?
I certainly have. It's always a pleasure.
Excellent. And can we look forward to speaking to you probably next week?
We'll be back next week, bright and early.
Fantastic.
For us.
When you say ish, of course, let's just do the time check for people in Nashville now. What time have you got?
Yeah, let me look at my watch. Quarter after 11. After 11 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's brunch time, for goodness sakes. Well, I know you spend Detroit.
Notes from a Very Small Island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
Of course, Sarah, a wonderful thing about the Lincoln Inspired Festival is you get an author and a director of communications development and marketing, and they start talking creative stuff. It's wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great. Focused in every sense of the word. Add our ace librarian and indeed English graduate from Kent and Canterbury, the University of London, of course, postgraduate work and so on, Anna Lewis, and you've got magic definitely designed to work through the whole thing. Anna, are you on the bus today or are you actually sort of sitting at home?
No, I'm at I'm actually at home doing my usual, trying to solve a mystery. That's my that's my mission in life. Well,
as Ty Wilcox said, life, it's a mystery. A little mention for Katie Grimerson. She's doing her Hollywood essay, Sarah.
Excellent. So, she said she was going to go to the library.
This is good. It's nice to see that's there. You know, yes, you can, as long as you obviously have it on headphones and sort of you can listen to Siren FM on the library system. It's nice. It works through the whole process there. So well done, Katie. So can we help with this mystery, Anna? I mean, is there something which you might like to sort of seek the assistance of the team on?
Yes, I mean, why not? The University of Cambridge have alerted me to Letters of Charles Darwin that are online. Well, that's really good news because, as you probably know, some years ago the Natural History Museum did a really good display of to celebrate Darwin. Was it 100, God knows how many hundreds of years anyway? Very good exhibition, and Darwin was the buzzword. But we're trying to locate a local man who was in correspondence with Darwin. He's known only by the house in which he lived, that's called Rosedon in Grooville, but we don't know who lived there in 1864. So that's our dilemma. We're trying to find out who lived in a certain property in one particular year to find out who Charles Darwin was in touch with.
Well, I mean, Sarah, I would have thought that should be easy peasy, surely. I mean, just locating that, you know. Who in 1864 lived in Charles Darwin's house in Groveton, did you say?
No, it's a house called Groveton in Jersey.
Oh, Groveton in Jersey,
this
right.
This person was in touch with Darwin. Oh. And on the website it says we don't know who this person is, but we think his initials are C. P. And he lived at a house called Rosedon in 1864. So this is the mystery of the day. Who is CP who lived at this house in 1864?
Ellie, any thoughts on this? I mean, I can see sort of some people saying, you know, who lived at McFly's house and so on and so on. So, but,
I know, I might be able to help with that one. No, I'm just wondering why you wanted to know, really.
Well, it's a Cambridge academic who's got in touch with us because I think they're trying to put names on letters.
Honestly, these academics, they come out with their researching ways.
Nothing else to do. But, I mean, I suppose Lincoln's got its own fair share of famous people, has it?
Yeah, we've got Joseph Banks, actually.
Have you? Oh, my God, seriously? Yeah,
we'll take your Charles Darwin person who corresponded and we'll raise you a Joseph Banks. Well done, Ellie.
We've got a wonderful exhibition on at the collection, and University of Lincoln academics have actually created the soundscape, which is amazing, of the whole journey that he undertook through the water, and you can hear all the waves, and you can go look around. And we had Sir David Attenborough actually here last week to open it. And it was a fantastic celebration of Joseph Banks, who isn't as widely known as Darwin.
But you're doing your bit for him, Ellie. That's important.
Nonetheless, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it sounds, because I was talking to my colleague as a new librarian, and we were talking about how exhibitions are very with us anyway, because we're a bit behind in the Antisal in Jersey. There's not a lot of oral and visual stuff in the museum, like sound effects and things like that. And we were thinking of putting, because we have our own dialect in Jersey that's a kind of Norman French. It's very unique to the Channel Islands. And what we thought we'd do is actually put, recordings of the old folks talking in the language and singing songs in it. So it appeals to another sense, because we just are so papery in the sense that we don't have, visual's fine, but like you said, sound, noises and waves and things like that. Yeah, it'd be lovely.
A complete sensory experience. Yeah.
And smells as well.
Of course, you know what to do, Anna. You should get yourself on the nearest boat, or indeed plane, and get yourself up to Lincoln. I mean, we have said this for many a time, but there we are.
I keep meaning to travel more, but I've only got 20 days leave a year.
We're not that far away.
You know, it's the East Midlands, love. It's not the end of the planet. Goodness sakes. James, your thoughts on this particular little quandary she's got?
Do we know what was in said letters?
Good question.
Well, I mean, obviously we don't, but what would we learn from these? I mean, obviously it's not going to have some new works that he's created.
He might have said something like, I'm sorry, I got it all wrong with that natural selection. I was having a laugh, end quote. It's a thought. Yeah, I know you can't reveal anything. Gabriella Peralta's just coming in. We'll get a seat for you, Gabriella. Don't worry, there'll be one sorted to do. Let's move back to Catherine, though. Catherine, I mean, you were nodding sagely with respect to accents and Jersey. Is this something, I mean, you've lived in Nashville. Is there something else where you have Jersey experience?
I'm afraid I've got quite a lot of family in Jersey. Well,
We're constantly getting Anna to actually say they're not Neanderthal in Jersey, and yet again she mentioned it today, quite Neanderthals. Anyway, carry on.
Well, I mean, it was very interesting, actually. One of my cousins, he's been very... instrumental in preserving records of the Jersey French, and he sent me a recording of it, and I found it absolutely fascinating. I must say, it's the sort of thing, you know, if I went to a museum in Jersey, I would really like to listen to, because I think what surprised me was how if you hadn't been told it was French, you really wouldn't necessarily have guessed. I mean, it was very different, isn't it?
It's, I mean, if you hear, I mean, you do hear the language, because they're reviving it now in Jersey. There's actually a part of the curriculum that it's extracurricular, in the sense that kids and parents have to sign them up for it. But my two kids did the initial few years of it. And I speak reasonably good French, and I didn't. My son and daughter were in a competition where they had to recite some poetry that was Victorian in that language, and you know what? I didn't understand a blessed word. It's very nasal, and it's quite guttural as well, and so that combination makes it quite difficult to. And also, if you're purist and you like normal French, it really grates on the ear. It's not very nice, actually.
Is there such a thing as normal French? Sorry. Every so often, Six Nations and everything else. Just create a little sort of scenario on that basis. Well, do you know where we have to go to next, Sarah? Arthur Weingarten. I know, Anna. It's too much to work through on that basis. By the way, Anna, is there some sort of twinkly, twinkly thing that you've got going on in the background there? Because I thought it's because we've got little twinkly noises there.
We've got this strange phone that has a mind of its own, and we rendered it out from a coffee shop, so we end up getting orders for coffee at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Three lattes and a couple of cappuccinos, I think, for us. We'll get them on the plane then. Anyway, let's at James. Last two questions. Off you go.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, thanks. Brilliant.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
And will we be hearing from you in the future?
Yes, I'll do some homework this time. I'll find out more about Joseph Banks.
Sorted.
He's very interesting.
Yeah, she'll be on the case. And now, because Ellie put in a specific contractual request for these guys.
Adams Family, Wonder Woman, The Green Hornet, Bonanza, Murder, She Wrote, The Mod Squad, Honey West, Ironside. Just some of the series which have benefited from the writing and producing genius of Arthur Weingarten. And now the legendary writer is live on the Midweek Drive. Prepare to be amazed.
Quite right, too. Welcome back, Arthur. How are we? And how's upstate New York, or to be precise, Woodstock?
Woodstock is beautiful in the sun and hovering about 2 degrees above zero.
Nice. So is this anything to do with the fact that yourself and Annette are moving over to the West Coast in the next few months, then?
I think this was the final push that got us there.
Yeah, I've seen some of the online photographs, and it's been hectic stuff over there. It's all down with to do with the Arctic vortex. Now, introduction, Arthur, because in the studio we have a positive quintet of quality. We have a super writer who has produced Flower Girl and a whole variety of other things, plays for radio and such track. That would be, of course, the wonderful Catherine Feeney.
Hi.
Yeah, that's Catherine. Hello. We have the Director of Communications Development and Marketing here at the University of Lincoln, although she's a secret top playwright as well. We're just teasing that whole thing through. That's Ellie Sample.
Hello.
Hello.
We have Sarah Bullimore, who is the creative genius behind Lincoln Inspired, the fabulous celebration of literary and artistic material for Lincoln and the world.
It is, yes. Hello.
Sarah. We have Gabriella Peralta, our very own girl from Gibraltar, and it's not an acronym. She's back with us again. Gabriella?
Hi.
There we are.
Hello, quite Gabriel. Where is there room for you, Alex?
Listen, I'll just press an occasional button, Arthur. That's important. And we have the man who actually has seen the Danish Blue Affair episode of The Girl from Uncle.
Infamous.
Yes, which you wrote. That would be James Kayson.
Hello there.
Hello.
So, where do we get? I mean, Ellie, do you remember The Girl from Uncle?
I don't. Should
no.
I do?
Well, no, you're
was
too young.
Was it the 70s?
60s.
How can she remember The Girl from Uncle and not collect Social Security? What's wrong with
that? I wish I'd seen it. It sounds amazing.
Starring Stephanie Powers, Leo G. Carroll, and the late Noel Harrison as Mark Slate. It was a spin-off, a one-season spin-off from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Interestingly enough, they did a recast because Marianne Mobley was the original April Dancer in the episode of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. that actually led to The Girl from U.N.C.L.E., a thing called The Moonglow Affair, which was quite psychedelic. I caught it recently. And then, of course, The Girl from U.N.C.L.E., which, of course, stands for what, Sarah? U.N.C.L.E.? United Network Command for Law and Enforcement. Gabriella would have told you this. Gabriella Gibraltar, the girl from Gibraltar.
Yeah, so new. Totally.
So new, exactly. It's sorting through on that sort of basis. And James, would you like to just describe for the benefit of our listener, who might, a bit like Ellie and indeed Gabriella and Sarah, and possibly Catherine Feeney. Do you remember The Girl from U.N.C.L.E.?
I remember it very well. Yeah. I was a tremendous fan. Yeah. I absolutely loved it.
Open so, Channel D?
Yeah.
Little pen, little communicator, Open Channel D?
Yes. But I'm not getting any Social Security. This
no, absolutely. Noticed, so. No, you and me both, Catherine. I don't know. You know, that's what golden age of television
no,
is all
Richard.
About. DVDs, etc. Anyway, James, you caught the episode, one of the episodes that Arthur wrote, The Danish Blue Affair.
Yeah.
Would you like to just share with us the sort of concept of that, and let's see if we can prompt Arthur into some thoughts and views on the whole thing.
Well, spy-fi is the first thing that comes to mind.
Yes.
And I'm hoping, not to offend, but satire, in a sense?
Wait, was it, Arthur, an attempt to satirise the Danish people? Because I did like the way in which Hans and Gretel actually wore their traditional lederhosen as well. Well, at least Hans still did, which was wonderful.
Am I going to put a dent in all of your enthusiasm when I say that that episode was cobbled together because the budget was so stretched we used sets from everything else? including her pigtails.
This is so true. That is one of the reasons why it's always best to get the writers themselves, because what could have been otherwise deconstructed by academics and academic conferences the world over, suddenly you've revealed it was actually a last-minute sort of, let's put it all together.
Yes, exactly, because the script that I first wrote was about 180 degrees from that. There we are.
But you've got to like the idea of calling the thing The Danish Blue Affair, and all of the U.N.C.L.E. shows began with the and then ended in the affair. So it's a bit like the Midweek Drive Affair, Ellie. You know, it's a bit of an episode of Man from America. Or, you know, the Lincoln-inspired affair, Sarah. You know,
that sounds good.
I think, you know, listen, it's not for nothing that Guy Ritchie's doing a remake of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. in the cinema later on in the year. But that's another edition. We're focusing on The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. Microdots in Danish Blue Cheese, Arthur. Was that an original idea, or was that a case of let's just pave the way?
No, that came actually from there was a wonderful restaurant in Hollywood called Scandia, and they served the most elegant Danish blue cheese dressing. Unlike the creamy mess that's around today, This was truly wonderful. And one day I was eating a salad and my tooth bit into something that should not have been there. And that started me thinking, my God, you could hide half the world in a Danish blue dressing, and then get it out of there. That's what I thought of. The original script was literally taking place. We were going to shoot in Scandia's kitchen, in which there were spies working in. And, you know, it was all great fun.
I mean, I thought the series was fun. I mean, James, I think you were particularly impressed with the underground sets where, instead of actually running after the chase sequence.
The infamous chase.
The chase sequence, which indeed several other American studies students did actually point out, wouldn't it have been quicker if they actually just got out and walked?
Well, that's where the satire, I hope, comes from.
It was tremendous. I mean, and Scud missiles, you know, rather Thrush. Spud Spud missiles and Thrush. I mean, if
I can tell you with great certainty that every bit of it was put to use about 2 years later by Roger Corman in 4 or 5 films.
And that's the joy of Hollywood recycling. Although I still think, Arthur, you should actually take credit for the naming of the Spud missile as opposed to the Scud missile. You see, Ellie, cheese, potatoes, and they say that this wasn't a classic. I shall let you borrow the DVD, Ellie. I think you'll step aside from McFly. You'll leave McFly to one side.
Of course. I mean, it sounds fantastic. It sounds like it could have been written about Lincoln, actually. It sounds like a whole food-based kind of caper.
Why do you think Arthur's one of our favourite regular contributors? You know, it's exactly because even in the 21st century, he can capture the vernacular of where it's happening in terms of Lincoln material, etc. It was, in many ways, Arthur, one of the pioneering approaches for having a good, strong female lead. Possibly we talked about Honey West on a previous show, but I think in terms of Stephanie Powers playing April Dancer, on a positive side of things, it was having you had a lead female character there. Did you feel it was groundbreaking, or did you feel, no, it's just exploiting the Uncle Brand?
No, it was meant to start a new genre, and it failed. Because we had very, very few females after that. And as a matter of fact, I was writing the FBI series for Quinn Martin, and he wanted to bring and spin off a female agent. And the three networks at that time said, oh, yeah, that's a nice idea, but we don't think so. And that was that. And he was, next to Aaron Spelling, the most successful. And when Heart to Heart came on, Heart to Heart was meant to be two women. Two women. And Robert Wagner got lucky and stepped in there.
Perhaps even in the 1980s, even with Freeway the dog and, of course, Max the butler, perhaps two women living together might have just been pushing it too far for Hollywood scenarios. It's a different line there. You're nodding
well,
there.
They were meant to be sisters, Alex.
Yeah, it's all right. I thought that might be the... Ellie, you're nodding there. You remember Heart to Heart.
I loved Heart to Heart. It was one of the best programs on TV. It was just amazing. I love the fact that when they met, it was murder.
Hey, I could have been there for... it was nip and tuck whether for genre and popular culture I actually used Heart to Heart or indeed The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. In the end, it was The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. that actually won out.
But I do wonder... I wonder if Arthur paved the way for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. In terms of strong female leads, without Arthur, there would have been no Buffy.
I think
there wouldn't have been no Buffy.
I'm thinking perhaps a remake. I mean, Angela Lansbury's still around, doing more sort of Buffy. Maybe a stunt person could be in there. You know, Angela Lansbury as Jessica meets Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah, it's a thought.
Listen, I got to tell you something. She is such a pro. If I were you, I'd send her an outline.
Yep. Personally, I feel that her role in Bedknobs and Broomsticks was one of the top end of the scary, which, again, my own personal classical favour there. Bibbity bobbity boo. Sarah, any questions you'd like to put to Arthur, such as, Arthur, if only you could come over to Lincoln Inspired this year, maybe next year.
Next year, yeah, no, that would be fantastic.
I would love to come.
That would be lovely, Arthur.
As a matter of fact, Annette will be there. She was supposed to be there just about now, but she won't. She's coming in September, and I'm going to try and come with her, so we'll see.
You see, Annette Andre is coming back to Britain, and Arthur is coming with her. Yay! Probably in the studio as well.
Well, maybe Arthur could do a talk at the university when you come, if you'd be willing, Arthur. It would be fantastic.
Well, I would love to, but we'll have to see, because we're in the midst of a move at that point, so... We'll see. But Annette is definitely coming, so...
Super.
So there we are. You see, quality stuff works its way
through. A hell of a lot prettier than I am.
Listen, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, Arthur. You know, I mean, there are young ladies who even now swoon when I even mention the name Arthur Weingarten. You know, it's phenomenal, really. Catherine, any questions you'd like to put to Arthur about life, the universe, writing screenplays, or anything, really?
Yeah, I wonder if you felt that moonlighting owed you any sort of debt, because, I mean, the female with the male sidekick, the male...
Cybill Shepherd, Bruce Willis.
Yeah, and the male possibly not in the sort of dominant
role. Some fly
by day. How did you feel about that?
Well, I wanted to keep working and earning a living, so I had to do what was popular at the
time.
And that was it. But I must tell you that there was very little thought. I mean, this is incredible looking back now, but very little thought to women as anything but ancillary.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
frosting on the cake. And when we were doing Honey West, I mean, there's an actress who had done good, serious work on Broadway, this and that. You have no idea the inattention to the series because she was in it. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think's made the big change? What clinched it? Was it the one series that made the money?
I think that women finally got the idea that we men really don't have it as much as we said we did, and that little by little they worked their way. Now this is true. Yeah. Little by little they worked their way into executive positions, and that's what did it. That's what did it. It wasn't men who suddenly said, gee, you know, we really got those women to have to give them a break.
Oh, I don't know.
It happened when Sherry Lansing took over Paramount and other women started coming in. And that was it.
Always interesting stuff. And, of course, Ellie, we have Professor Mary Stewart, a sort of twin spearhead with yourself in many ways of pulchritudinous wonderment here at the University of Lincoln.
Well, it's very interesting how much things are changing, actually, because this year higher education has seen 87,000 more applications from women than from girls than from boys.
Really?
Women are doing far better in
the
education.
Blokes have just given up the ghost, basically. Yeah. just thought, I can't cope anymore.
Here in the States, women, for the third year in a row, are outnumbering male medical students and law students.
Mm. Hooray! Go, girls!
Yep.
I'm with you, sister.
Well, there we are, James. It looks as though we're clearly in the minority here.
Never mind. Looking bleak.
Grace under pressure. That's the important thing. That's what we will look to. In the second hour of the programme, we'll be speaking to Los Angeles Master Chorale Director Grant Gershon about the 50th anniversary celebrations of the fabulous Los Angeles Master Chorale at the Walt Disney Hall, etc. Georgia Twynham will be talking about her involvement with Lincoln Inspired, because she's one of our patrons, is she not, Sarah?
She is, yes.
Very exciting from that point of view. And Phil Nairn is also in Los Angeles. We'll also be reflecting on life, the universe and various other factors as well. But Arthur, we now need to ask you those last two critical questions, and I wonder, Ellie, can you remember what they were? I mean, has he had a recently interesting chat? Is he coming back again?
I remembered. Yeah. I remember.
There you are. Yes.
No, Arthur, it's been a delight to speak to you. Have you enjoyed meeting us?
I have. All 600 of you.
Yeah. It seems.
And will you come back next week?
I'm not leaving the phone.
You see, there we are.
Wonderful.
Arthur Weingarten will return. So quality stuff from that point of view. Remind you, you're listening to Lincoln's first community radio station. It's Siren 107.3 FM. Award-winning, of course, East Midlands Radio Station of the Year. We'll also be finding out from Sarah Bullimore more exciting teasing ahead stuff about Lincoln Inspired, won't we, Sarah?
We
will, exactly. We could have squeezed in a bit of music. We thought, no, Arthur's been far too much quality and too much good stuff to actually squeeze in any music before the news, because as we actually approach 5:45, it is indeed time for the Siren News at 5:45.